Welcome back. We start hour number two. My name is Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California. Pumped to be here. I gave you my thoughts on what went down last night between the Dodgers and the Astros. Then we had Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. And then Adam Hawk came on the program and pissed off a lot of people. And now we start hour number two. It's a good day. It's a great first hour. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We start hour number two by having a conversation with a senior writer at The Athletic. He previously covered baseball at the Los Angeles Times, the Kansas City Star, and the Star Ledger. We've got a lot to get caught up on with Andy McCullough. Andy, it's good to have you back. How are you, Andy?
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good. So take me back to Monday morning, if you don't mind. What was your reaction when you first heard the news of all the positive tests on the Marlins roster?
I mean, it's upsetting to think that, I guess reaction is an interesting way of putting it. I mean, like, my initial reaction was just the inevitability of it, right? Like, this was bound to happen at some point. It just happened to occur during the first weekend of the season. I think it's really upsetting to think that at this point now half of the team's roster has contracted a serious respiratory illness. We don't know the extent of, symptoms that these guys are suffering, but we know that it can be really, really problematic to have this thing, even if you're a young person who's not in the sort of, a high risk pool. So, I mean, but from a baseball perspective, this was going to happen. And that's the inevitability of it, I think, was just really deflating for me, that there was all this talk about the money and, pro rata, pay and all this sort of stuff, when there never really was a plan put in place that would 100% protect against this. I'm not sure a plan to 100% protect against this is possible if you're going to be flying around the country. But this was going to happen with the way things are set up right now. If you're traveling, through America right now, you are at risk of getting COVID. It's, that's the nature of the beast right now.
Right. I mean, maybe not a foolproof plan, but a plan in and of itself would be pretty nice. As an example, you co-wrote a piece for The Athletic where one player who played in Sunday's Marlins-Phillies game said, quote, "probably shouldn't have played yesterday," end quote. So what do you make of that comment? And then as a follow-up, why did they play a game when the Marlins already had four known positive tests?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there's a couple things at play here, right? Like, I don't think players should be in charge of these decisions. I don't think it should be up, there should be, public health officials who are being, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say that Major League Baseball is acting in concert with public health officials, so I don't want to, say that everyone's doing this on their own. But what I will say is that the operations manual for the 2020 season does not have a sort of objective standard that says, okay, once you hit this number of infections, you cannot play today. It's all sort of subjective, and it's kind of in the eye of the beholder. And so the reason they played a game on Sunday was because it was on the schedule on Sunday, and no one stepped in from the Marlins, from the Phillies, from the commissioner's office, from a public health standpoint to say, you guys cannot play. So because, there isn't a sort of break in place that says once you hit, X number of positive tests, you can't play. It's just, there's not an objective measure of it. And so you're going to have situations like this. Now, maybe in the future, if something like this happens, they won't play. But the reason they played is because it was on the schedule, and that's just the nature of trying to conduct this sort of season in the midst of a pandemic. You're going to play games in settings that are, in hindsight, going to look pretty bad.
Look, I agree with you. I mean, that first point about you don't leave it up to the players. I mean, I said the same thing myself, Andy. Of course you don't leave it up to the players. Players play. Players will always vote to play. You can't leave it up to them. And then to your other point about, well, the reason they played is because it was on the schedule. I mean, you're right. But what about this approach? I mean, is there a number of positive tests on one team that could shut down the season? Do we even know? How do they not have an objective standard?
I think if you put in an objective standard, then, you reduce the ability, I guess, to be creative or to be flexible or to try and work around it. I mean, look, they're playing this season because they want to make money. There's a lot of money at stake for the owners. There's a lot of money at stake at the players. They have a mutual benefit to try and get to the playoffs and get that extra playoff money there and get the season in the books, So they want to try and play this season, stay as healthy as possible, and just get it over with, get the money, and try and come back next year when it's safer, right? So, Yeah, I mean, is there a number of, you know, tests that say you can't play the season? No, there isn't. But as we've seen, just an outbreak with one team had a ripple effect that affected, you know, the Yankees, it affected the Phillies, it's affected the Orioles. The Nationals had a team meeting where they voted and said they didn't want to play in Miami this weekend. So if you have one or two more of these, if you have two outbreaks, you know, in teams like one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast in concert, you're talking about potentially, you know, like a quarter to a third of the league having to be shut down because of it. So there isn't a number in place, but it's not hard to see how things could have to shut down completely.
Andy McCullough is joining us. All right, so there's a team official who's quoted in your piece, this is a great quote, as saying, I would rather take the money hit and we all just come back in 2021 with months of planning. This was duct taped together and nobody is following the fake rules anyway, end quote. It's a hell of a statement to me. What do you make of that sentiment?
I think there's a lot of weariness from folks in the league about the sort of, you know, I think just the amount, I mean, this is a logistical nightmare trying to put together this season. And I think it's the sort of thing that even if you gave the league, you know, several, like a full year to try and plan it under these circumstances, like playing in the midst of a pandemic, it's going to be very, very difficult. And I think there's some frustration from, you know, executives who weren't involved in the sort of negotiations between the commissioner, between the owners and the union, who were frustrated that all the dialogue was about the money and there was not enough dialogue about, you know, the frequency of testing, the, you know, eliminating lag in the testing, you know, what are the sort of protocols for, you know, staggering arrivals to come to the ballpark, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, when you talk about the fake rules, like when you watch these games, guys are high-fiving, guys are spitting, guys are doing all the things that they were said they weren't allowed to do. Every game, every night features guys, you know, breaking these sort of rules. And they're just kind of like eyewash, you know. You can put in all these protocols and all these rules in place that, you know, ask guys to socially distance inside the clubhouse and ask them, you know, to spread out among like the dugout or spread out in the stands. But like the fact of the matter is they're traveling around the country in planes and in buses and I guess in Ubers and taxis when they're on the road. They're traveling around the country and staying in hotels as the country just spirals through the COVID crisis. I mean, it just keeps getting worse. It's not really the fault of the protocols or the fault of the athletes. You know, it's like you can argue about whether the players, you know, they should they, you know, there's been a lot of unsubstantiated reports coming out about what led to the Marlins outbreak. But I think the bigger problem is that you are playing in a country where if you have one false step, you can catch this virus. And that is just a very, very difficult thing to try and pull off logistically when the margin for error is so slim. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Andy McCullough writes for The Athletic. He is a senior writer there. You know, I wonder, like, when the players heard about Red Sox pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez and the heart condition that he's currently dealing with, which is believed to be possibly connected to COVID, you know, I was talking to Dave Roberts about this. These guys think they're bulletproof. Mm-hmm. They're professional athletes, of course, right? What kind of an impact, though, when you see something like that happen to a young professional athlete, one of your own, what kind of an impact do you think that had around or on guys around the league? Any?
I mean, I think you can tell. Did guys opt out and say it was because of Eduardo Rodriguez? I mean, no. I think baseball as a sport asks its participants to have tunnel vision. It asks them to be blinkered. You know, you have to focus on yourself. You know, there's all this talk about, you know, we just need to take care of our business and everything will be fine. You know, we control what we can control, and that's what they focus on. And I think it's very difficult to ask people who are wired to behave in that manner, incentivized to behave in that manner, rewarded with, you know, untold riches for behaving in that manner, and ask them to change the way they think based on this pandemic. So, no, I mean, yeah, if you're just asking someone on the street, you know, like, hey, people in your job are getting this, you know, a guy who works in your job got this very serious virus. You know, are you worried about the long-term ramifications of if you catch it and go into your job? They'll probably say, oh, wow, yeah, I guess so. But baseball players, they're not, you know, they have to be single-minded, I think. It's how, you know, it's what separates them from everyone who tried to play in high school or college or whatever. And part of it is the mindset. So I don't think there's been a big effect. You know, I think people saw that with Eduardo Rodriguez, said, oh, that's a shame for him. And then, you know, went back to taking batting practice.
Right. All right. So really quickly, before you go, I mentioned that I had Dave Roberts on the program in hour number one. We talked about the incident with Joe Kelly. What did you make of that?
I mean, it was a nice distraction and a reminder of what is interesting about baseball. I thought Dusty Baker did a really good job sort of using the moral high ground he has as being someone who wasn't a member of the 2017 Astros to sort of defend his players and, you know, sort of move the subject past, hey, Joe Kelly's throwing after these guys, you know, for cheating in 2017 and move it towards, you know, we were defending ourselves because Joe Kelly used bad words against us. So I thought it was entertaining. I mean, I don't really support guys getting hit in the head with baseballs, but what did the sport expect? I mean, the Astros players weren't punished. The, you know, most of the rest of the industry was really, really upset. And, you know, this is a kind of understandable byproduct, I guess.
Exactly. Last thought, you recently spoke to the great Dr. Harry Edwards, who I've known for a number of years, regarding MLB players who knelt before games during the anthem. What did Dr. Edwards make of that?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Harry Edwards because I thought, you know, after the sort of weekend of like, you know, guys doing protests and, you know, all those sort of different gestures, I kind of wanted to have like a historical perspective on it. I wanted someone, you know, I'm 33, so like I haven't seen as much as someone like Dr. Edwards, who's, you know, 77, and someone who's, you know, been around for a lot longer and can sort of contextualize this. And so I just kind of wanted to know like what his reaction was. And he had a lot of interesting thoughts. I mean, his main one, and there was, you know, there was sort of like a corporate synergy aspect to this that I found a little unseemly, but also like, it's hard to know, like, is it progress to see, you know, Black Lives Matter hung outside the Red Sox stadium, like hung outside Fenway, or is that, you know, like a brand trying to glom on to a movement, you know? And so I was curious, like, what his perspective was. And so what he said was basically like, you know, look, at this point, it's not enough to just say the Black Lives Matter. It's not enough to take a knee. It's about actually changing the issues that are affecting the Black community. You know, it's not enough to just recognize the suffering of folks in those communities, but it's important to actually do something to, you know, change the circumstances. And he was talking about how, you know, it's important to, you know, basically like just not settle for this, you know, to, you know, that the struggle continues and that athletes are going to be at the forefront of it, but it's not as simple as just taking a knee for one day. There's more to it than that. So I was appreciative of him for taking the time, because I did want some sort of historical perspective on what was a pretty memorable weekend with regard to all the gestures and stuff.
Yeah, right. So before I let you go, let me follow that up then. If African-Americans make up 8% of the player pool in Major League Baseball, how would you describe how the league, individual teams, and the players have engaged with the cause for social justice? What's your take?
I think there is reason to believe that you know, that there's progress. I think there is a benefit to, you know, to having prominent players like Clayton Kershaw and Joey Votto talk about, you know, that Black Lives Matter, you know, to say that they are in the struggle for their teammates, you know, that even if they can't, you know, understand their experiences, they're more willing to listen. I mean, you saw guys like Amir Garrett and Matt Kemp speak out after, you know, Kershaw spoke to The Athletic about, like, you know, how he has become more aware of these issues. And those guys, you know, like Garrett and Kemp, were talking about what it meant to them to hear Kershaw say that. And I do think that has value, but it's not as simple. Again, like, these are just rhetorical things. It's, you know, it's nice to hear that. It does feel good in a way, but there has to be more behind it. There has to be work done to increase, you know, Black participation in Major League Baseball, to increase representation among Black people in front offices, you know, in the dugout, in, you know, managerial roles, all those sorts of things. So, the rhetoric is nice, but it has to be backed up with action.
He is a senior writer for The Athletic. He previously covered baseball at the LA Times, the Kansas City Star, and the Star Ledger. Andy McCullough, my guest. Great job, Andy. Appreciate your thoughts on that. Thank you very much. Let's do it again.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Good job. Well done. My man's 33. Very impressive. Good intellect. 1-800-636-8686. All right, then. I want to get some reaction. I want to reset you to what happened in hour number one. You have your telephone number. If not, here it is, 1-800-636-8686. You know where to find me on social. If not, here it is, at Jim Rome. That works on Twitter. That works on Instagram. If you don't mind, hit me up there. In fact, go to my Instagram feed right now. Man, there's something about me and wildlife. I'm getting better and better at wildlife. I find wildlife. Wildlife finds me. It doesn't matter what state I'm in. Cali, Montana, Wisconsin. I'm just good at it. And I found some more this morning on the way in. Check it out. I found a video. Go to my Instagram feed. Hit me up at Jim Rome. Check out the wildlife I saw this morning. Let me just say, this was on the way in our parking lot. Hell of a lot better than that typical wildlife that we see, namely gigantic roaches falling out of the ceiling. That's normally the only wildlife I see at work. Cockroaches. Took care of them, but not this dude. Go to my Instagram feed at Jim Rome. When we come back, the Patriots. Is this finally the year that it all catches up with them? COVID, the opt-outs, Brady's gone, Gronk went with him, or are they still the Patriots as long as Bill Belichick is there? And are the Bills ready? I want to hit that, and I want to open it up to you. You have your telephone number. We're coming right back. Don't forget, you know, if that topic that we just had interests you, I have some of that also with Dave Stewart. Former Dodger great, A's great, joins me on the Jim Rome podcast. We will push that out a little bit later on today. Look for that also.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Next weekend on CBS, the best golfers in the world head west for the season's first major. Will Brooks Koepka take home his third consecutive Wanamaker Trophy? Will somebody else step up and take their place in history? It is the PGA Championship. It's live. It's August 8th and 9th on CBS. Man, there's some weird things going on in the jungle. And by weird, I mean people are agreeing with Adam Hawk. People are showing support for Hawk. People actually sound like they like something Hawk said. Really weird things. Really quickly, as a reset, because oftentimes the biggest topic on the show is the show itself. Adam Hawk came on at the end of hour number one, and I said the show is so weird. So many different things that happen. We reset something that happened yesterday. Olympian Bob Samuelson, longtime jungle listener. I mean, I don't want to speak for Bob, but I mean, I think that he might even cop to being a clone on a certain level. I mean, Olympian first, and an athlete first, but he's got some clone in him. He's been calling the show for years and years and years and years. He called the program. He called the listen line to contribute a story which elevated the conversation. It got us talking about the golf course because Jeff in SoCal took a picture. He happened to be on the same track that Bob was on. He found him. They took a picture. And then Hawk went off on this diatribe about how there's a right way and a wrong way to dress on the golf course. In part, it sounded like this.
I didn't like Jeff's look yesterday.
Why?
The shirt wasn't tucked in and the hat was backwards. That's a disgrace. Yeah, there are people that wake up at 3 in the morning to go cut the grass and mow the greens, and you treat the golf course like that, Jeff. Tuck that shirt in and put that hat forward.
How did Bob Samuelson look on the course?
Samuelson looked good. He looked good. His hat was on forward. I'll give
Why
him that.
Why are you stumbling and stammering all over yourself when you say it?
I want to see those shirts tucked in, all right? I want to see some long pants out there.
All right, so there was more to it than that. I just want to reset that for you to set up this reaction. As I mentioned, a really unusual thing when people are saying, I agree with Hawk. I appreciate Hawk. Hawk got that right. As an example, Charlie Roth tweets, Hawk is spot on, Rome. Tuck your shirt in and wear the hat correctly. When you are at your own home, or more likely, the trailer park, you can dress like a slob. Whatever. Quote, holy smokes. I just agreed with the sparrow. Well done, Adam Hawk. At Not Total Big E tweets, backwards hat on golf course is the ultimate D-bag. Mike in LFK tweets, Hawk just put Jeff in SoCal over his knee and spanked him and then sent him to bed with no dinner. War Hawk turning into a dad on air. Sam in Grand Rapids tweets, God forbid You show up to the track with your shirt untucked, but a bunch of meth head jailhouse looking tats is legit? WTF. He's talking about Hawk also. Yeah, Adam. I mean, kind of counterintuitive, right? Yeah, yes, your shirt is tucked in, but what about those, quote, meth head jailhouse looking tats? Casey New Hampshire tweets, golf courses or a sanctuary? I thought they were a runway. Signed, Harrison Ford. Jesse G tweets,
get off my plane.
I'll make sure to, quote, respect the game. Next time me and my buddies are shotgunning beers and using the woods like a urinal on a Saturday morning. At Mike T474, this also was not lost on many of you. He tweets, did Hawk just say that Ichiro is the hit king? The Japanese league don't count, pal.
Ichiro is the all-time hit king, but I have heard of Pete Rose, absolutely.
Fair enough. I love this one, too. At Mock Moda. Hey, Rome. Pretty fresh for a guy who looks like a washed-up porn star with prison tattoos to tell me to respect the game. Hey, kook, respect yourself. Charlie in Goochland. Quote, if it's over 90 degrees outside, you'll catch me on the golf course with no shirt on. I showed my respect when I paid to play. Hawk shaking his head at that. At Hitman Canadians in, quote, taking fashion advice from Adam Hawk is like taking birth control advice from Alvin DeLauro.
Dude, no.
You have a rain jacket, use it. Dude, two words. Wrap up. Don't do as I do. Do as I say. Hey, Rome. Hawk being critical of somebody's wardrobe is the richest thing ever. Have you ever seen this guy? His fashion sense is a clash between kindergarten art meets thrift store hipster. Wore Joe Kelly. Headhunting. Hawk's Closet. Damasio in Albuquerque. You know who's kind of down with your gear, your look? And I'm not happy about it? Jake Rome. Jake Rome thinks it's kind of like hipster cool. But then Jake Rome goes to thrift stores. Jake Rome, man. Jake Rome rolls up one day with like this golf pullover. How you like this, Dad? I'm like, I don't know, son. Where did you get that crap? Did you go to a garage sale? He's like, no, I went to a thrift store, though. And it cost me 99 cents. It's nice. I'm like, wow, bro, really? You have any idea where that jacket's been? Who's worn that jacket? You've got that in the house? Hey, why don't you sleep in that thing? Because there's going to be bed bugs in this entire home. Did you wash that thing before you put that thing on? And then this is long form. Jimmy, as you would expect from a company run by Hawk. I want to stop right there. Hawk, do you run that company? He's shaking his head, yes. I thought that he had a minority slice of the company. Now he runs the company. Bro, do you run TaylorMade now? Jimmy, as you would expect from a company run by Hawk, 6 of the 8 shirts on Hawk's company website are sold out. All 6 are the collared shirts. It's pretty weak, Hawk. That's pretty Hawk. He gets free airtime on a major nationally syndicated program, and he's not ready. Let me stop right there. It's the same Hawk who told me that he was going to put some jungle gear in front of me like a year ago. Haven't seen that yet either. I digress. This goes on, quote, also, if he is so big on showing respect for something, I am deeply offended as a supply chain professional that his supply chain is in such disarray. I should stop you right there. I don't know that his supply chain is in total disarray. He did find a way to get me one of the collared shirts. This email goes on. You always have to have one more unit in inventory than sold.
That is the only way to make sure that you are not leaving sales on the table. Forecast better, Hawk. Build flexibility and robustness into your supply chain. And most importantly, if Jim is gracious enough to allow you to plug your company on his major nationally syndicated show, Get Your House in Order. Steve in Vancouver. Hey, Steve, if I could put you in the smack off for an email, I would. Dude, if you put Jeff in SoCal over your knee and spanked him, he just put you over his knee and spanked you. Get your ass back to your room. No dinner, Hawk. What a great lesson that was for you. Did you read that? Did you hear that? Are you paying attention? Get your house in order, man. Always have one more unit in inventory than sold. You know why? Because you don't want to leave any sales on the table. Because you want to build flexibility and robustness into your supply chain. And most importantly, as the man said, if I am gracious enough to allow you to plug your company on my major, nationally syndicated, in fact, international, global program, get your freaking house in order, Hawk.
You call yourself a salesman?
You son of a bitch. Steve in Vancouver. There is more. There is more, Adam. Quickly. Bob Samuelson checked back in via text. Put him on. What did he say? When you were not as critical, but you did say, my man, you got to tuck it in. What did he say?
First off, to Steve in Vancouver, screw you, buddy.
I didn't ask you to. Okay, go ahead.
How about a compliment for selling out of some new gear? I mean, we sold out. That's great. Also,
yeah, but how do we know what you sold out? Maybe you sold two? How do we know what you sold out?
We're in the middle of a pandemic, Steve. Maybe getting new supply isn't as easy as it sounds, Steve. Bob Samuelson.
Why don't you take this up with him offline?
Bob Samuelson.
I guarantee you're going to lose that fight. He sounds like he knows what he's doing. You, I'm not so sure. Go ahead.
After I critiqued Bob Samuelson for not having his shirt tucked in, he wrote back to me, dude, you're right. That's on me. Shirt will be tucked in moving forward. I'm coachable.
Incredible.
I love this guy.
Yeah, of course you do, man. He's important and he agrees with you. Of course you love him. What do you mean you love him? 24 hours ago, you never even heard of him.
He's great.
You fall, man, you fall hard, dude.
I love him.
You fall hard and you fall fast. You love him. He is great.
Bob is the man.
All right. There you go. Steve in Vancouver with a thrashing of Adam Hawk and Adam lashing back, lashing out, trying to clap back. All right, we can get back to the show at hand now. When we come back, give me back my show. I do want to talk about the AFC East. Pats, Bills. I mean, you know, typically lame radio or talk radio program. Hey, Bills, Pats, who you got? I want to get into this, but we'll do it the right way. That's coming up. In addition to that, Wesley Woodyard. Always good to run him down. That's coming up in hour number three. I want to continue to stress this. I've got a Jim Rohn podcast that I'm going to push out after the program with Dave Stewart. Stu is great. Stu lost his mom only a couple of days ago and came on the show nonetheless, did the pod, and talked at length about what she meant to him. And we talked about his career. We talked about minority rights. We talked about the movement. Really good conversation. We talked about my idol, the Penguin, Ron Say. Make sure you look for it. Time now for a sports update. Here's...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So do you not have time to wax your car? Not a problem. 303 Touchless Sealant is a quick and easy solution. You simply spray on, then you rinse off. It is that easy. Get the ultimate protection and shine in no time whatsoever. It's available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. Just go to 303radio.com. Get some more information. All right, let me change up on you for a minute. Talk some football. The AFC East. The AFC East is the Buffalo Bills to win. You heard me. Yes, I said it. Generally, NFL predictions in late July are completely and totally pointless. NFL predictions in late July during a global pandemic or a whole new level of pointless. But I'm still saying it. And there are a lot of reasons to say it. Here's why I'm saying this. Here's why this is a topic today. First off, the Buffalo Bills are good. They're damn good. They went 10-6 last year. It says here they're only going to get better. I say that because their defense is good. It's really good. They've got exciting young talent at running back. They added Stephon Diggs. He brings an entirely new element and a whole new dimension to the offense. And while they have been getting better, the Patriots are getting worse. You know, you always hear people say this, especially athletes and coaches. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. Nobody stays the same. The Bills are getting better. The Patriots are getting worse. You can't deny that. I mean, it's a fact. Either you're building or you're decaying. The Patriots are decaying. Tom Brady, gone. Gronk, gone. Kyle Van Noy, gone. Jamie Collins Sr., gone. In the past few days, six more Pats have announced that they will opt out of this season. Dante Hightower, Marcus Cannon, Patrick Chung, Brandon Bolden, Danny Vitale, Najee Turan, all announced they're opting out. These are critical players, too. These are important players. And as I said earlier in the week, I want to make the point once again, you cannot criticize any of these guys for making that choice. I don't want to hear anybody say that it's selfish for a player to opt out, that they're not thinking about their team, the guys next to them, the coaching staff, the fans. Not only is it not selfish, it's one of the most selfless things that you could do. You're putting your own dream, your own career, your own goals on hold so you can be with your family and keep them safe. And not that I should need to do this, not that I have to do this, but here are a few of the stories behind why these guys are opting out. Marcus Cannon is married with three kids. He survived non-Hodgkin's lymphoma a few years back. Hightower became a father less than 2 weeks ago. I mean, I can go on and on. But every single guy who's opting out has a very good reason, or many good reasons for opting out. None of them should be questioned or criticized for it. And then again, no team preaches the next man up philosophy more than the Patriots. Except at a certain point, there are too many spots where you need the next man to step up. Like, there are only so many next men who can step up before you start getting to the next men who are the next men for a reason, right? Nobody is better than Bill Belichick at turning backups into contributors and contributors into stars. But at a certain point, backups are backups for a reason. And he's going to go into this season without his franchise quarterback and a starting offensive lineman and a starting safety and three starting linebackers. That's a crap load of talent to have to replace. Again, nobody can do that better than Belichick. Nobody. But man, that's a hell of a lot of work. Bill Belichick is still Bill Belichick. And personally, I'm really hyped to see how Cam Newton shows up and to see how he shows up in that offense. I'm a Cam believer. I'm just not sure that there's enough around Newton on offense to make up for the holes on defense. And then there's the fact that the Patriots are going without the guy who they built that offense around for the past 20 years. And they're doing it in a pandemic with a really wacky preseason. Like, by my count, Cam has maybe 20 minutes to get to know his teammates and familiarize himself with them and the system before the season starts. And yes, I know that the Bills also had a lot of their own talent opt out. What I'm saying, though, is the division is theirs for the taking. That's not me trying to get Bill fans hyped, although I do love it when the Bills fans are hyped. I mean, the league is better. Life is better when the Bills Mafia is doing what they do. I mean, they'll do what they do no matter what, but especially when they're good. Because no fan base loves their team more than that crew. No fan base gets more amped about the regular season than they do. But this feels different. This feels different to me. This year feels like there could be a bigger target than just reaching the playoffs. Those days are over in Buffalo. Being good is no longer good enough. There is a chance that this year they can do something really special. Really special. It's late July. I'm calling it. As I've said before, predictions in late July are dumb. And during a pandemic, they're even dumber. But I'm going to do it. I'm all in. Bill Belichick is a complete and absolute wizard. Dude's a warlock. He can do anything. But this year, the AFC East belongs to Buffalo. What I'm saying is, if not now, then when? What I'm saying is, where else would you? You know what? Rather than me saying that, I'm going to let this legend say it for me instead.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
My man Marv, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Marv Levy, Hall of Famer. That's also a throwback, man. I miss having conversations with him. Marv would come in the jungle and show up like the Harvard man that he is. Marv Levy. And I'm not doing that just to do that. I'm not saying that just to get reaction because that's not what I do. That's not who I am. I believe that. It is their year. Patriots, it's all finally going to catch up with them. Belichick is a warlock. He's a wizard. However, that's too many guys to replace. 1-800-636-8686. As I mentioned, the biggest topic on the show is the show itself often. Now, John in New York called earlier this week and said, Jim! And he said that he was going to get hip replacement surgery. I said, my man, I know you'll do great. I know you'll do fine. The jungle is thinking of you. Little did I know that he was going to get it right away and then call right back from the recovery room in the hospital where he is right now, presumably with new hardware. We go to New York. John in New York. Brother, man, what's going on, John?
Jim, hello to my radio family. Thank you so much for the love and support, Jim. You know, there's a reason why you're in the Radio Hall of Fame. A funny thing happened this morning. Everything with my recovery and everything is going well, but here's an example of why you are who you are, right? The saying is you don't bring a sandwich to the banquet, right? So you took Hawk on. This guy came from losing his cars. He came from tendering tennis matches and everything like that. Let me tell you about the Nation Golf Company and its attire and everything like that. I don't know what Steve is talking about, but he's from Canada, so I understand that, Jim. And the attire and the apparel is outstanding, okay? I set up shop this morning and was, you know, doing my thing, supporting the cause, supporting the jungle and the Jim Rome show. And the nurses came by and they saw the visor and they went ballistic over it. I mean, it is good stuff. There's no question about it. My dad wears it. People in my family are wearing it. And when I recover from this, Jim, I'm going to be wearing it out there because I'm going to take up a new sport of golf. But I just wanted to thank you for the much love and support that you've always given me and to everybody else, and especially the clones and everybody else out there, you know, that has, you know, wished me well and everything. I just wanted to say everything is going fine so far.
Boy, my man, John, I appreciate that. Listen, I want you to put the phone down, John, get some rest. You're a warrior, but you didn't have to prove that to me. As John in New York, he's already had hip replacement surgery. He made that phone call from the recovery room. But I could hear it in his voice. I could hear the emotion. He wanted to say, hey, thanks to the Jungle Fam. Thanks for having my back. But that's scary. Any surgery is scary. Everything is scary, especially right now. And if you go to the hospital and you have any kind of surgery at all, much less something like that, it's going to scare the hell out of you. So I'm glad that the Jungle family rallied around one of its own yet again. You could tell that he felt that. And he made the phone call from the recovery room. That's not the first phone call I've received from a recovery room. That's not the first phone call I've received from a hospital bed. Man, I've heard it all. I've seen it all. And the best thing is, actually, that's not true. The best thing is, I haven't seen it all. There are still things that happen that I would not expect. You're trying to get my attention, Adam. I'll give you an example. When I say that I've heard from other hospital beds, other hospital rooms, let's never forget the infamous Jeff in San Antonio calling bedside, I believe, from his fiance getting a C-section.
I am definitely a badass. I've got a kid, so I mean, that's proof that I am a badass right there.
No, it's not. If that's proof that you're a badass, then Alvin DeLauro is even badder than the baddest man I've ever met, David Goggins.
Dude,
And if not Goggins, then Jocko. We're tied for first. I guess we all have a different definition for, quote, badass. But having a child does not make you a badass.
War me and my fiance and war Jordan.
I mean, pretty much everybody has one. How does that make you a badass? And I'm not making light. Anyway, let's keep moving. 1-800-636. He made that phone call, though, bedside. I think that his fiance had just been cut. She had a C-section. But he wanted to point out that he was the badass. Bro, they cut her in half. And you're the badass. You're the badass. Way to stand there and look off to the side and cry while she got gutted like a fish. Anyway, have you ever seen a C-section? And you're the badass. She did all the work, brah. Wesley Woodyard, next hour. I want to talk about the most anticipated fight possibly in UFC history. In fact, I think I'll start that next hour. Don't go anywhere.